What's endurance? You know what endurance is? I ain't gonna quit. I'm gonna keep moving forward. Sometimes it's just keep moving forward, isn't it? Sometimes it's just, I'm gonna get out of the bed. I'm not gonna stay in the bed. I'm not gonna let my problem keep me in bed. I'm not gonna let my problem keep me in the house. I'm gonna keep moving forward. You know what that's called? That's called walking by faith. And you learn, endurance is, I'm not gonna quit. I'm gonna go longer. I'm gonna go farther. I'm gonna keep walking with God. I don't care about that problem. That problem is not gonna define my obedience to God. That problem is not gonna define my faith in God. I'm in it. I swallowed the pill. I'm in it. Hey friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Ruben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. It's so good to be at church. Did you know there's a new study that has shown that the frequency of church attendance has dropped? Maybe it's because I can watch online now. Maybe it's because I like to travel now. Maybe because of COVID. I don't know. But it's good for you to attend church every single weekend. It's good for your soul. Good for your soul. So in this story, what we've been looking at are the circumstances that happened before that miracle. A little bit of what happened was there's a famous murder that happens involving John the Baptist. John the Baptist was in prison and his head is cut off. He's beheaded. And the apostles then take his body without his head and they bury him. So they've just been to a funeral service, and just like you might expect, they're grieving, they're mourning, and they're tired, and they haven't eaten. And they're going to go tell Jesus about it, and this crowd of people follows them. This crowd of people follows them. We're going to start off on Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 32, says this. So they left by boat for a quiet place. Anybody need a quiet place? You know, you just need to escape a little bit. That's where they were going, where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Aren't you glad you have a Savior who has compassion? Thank you, Lord. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. And it's already getting what? It's already getting what? It's already getting late. Come on, guys. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them." With what they asked, we'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. Holy Spirit, help me, fill me, and use me according to your will. Holy Spirit, move in hearts, move in the heart of that person who's grown up in the church, and move in the heart of that person who's been dragged to church. Move in the heart of that person who's drifted away from you. We all need your grace, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. We pray. Amen. Today, the title of the message is problems. Anybody got problems? Raise your hand if you got problems. You got problems in your life. Have you ever had a problem in your life? If you're not raising your hand, you are the problem. Let me just say it like that. You are the problem. Problems are a part of life. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have problems, but be encouraged, I've overcome the world. But there's all kinds of problems out there. Sometimes, you know, you think, boy, you know what? I'm single and I sure would like to be in a relationship. You get in a relationship and what do you have? Problems, right? You're young enough to be in the house and you think, hey, you know what? I want to be on my own. If I only had my own, if I lived in my own apartment all by myself and I can adult, that would be cool. And that happens and all of a sudden you have problems, right? You're like, what is this bill for? What does that mean? What is that? I got to pay rent. I got to pay more. I got to eat. Why is this under my name and not my parents' name? What's up with that? You know, you buy that car and it looks really good on the lot and you drive away and about 6 months later, you're like, why did I do that? And now you got problems, right? Or you're growing a company and you have new employees. Now you got problems. Or now you're married because you've always wanted to be married, and now you got problems. Some of you are hard to be married to. I'm just telling you straight up. I'm going to speak honestly today, guys. Let me just get ready. Some of you are hard, and we get problems. Sometimes we have our personal battles that we don't talk to anybody about, right? There's problems we have within, our emotional problems. Maybe we've been abused, maybe we've been hurt, or whatever it is, and we're walking around and we have these problems. Maybe it's a friend that betrayed you. You thought they were your BFF forever. They were ride or die. They had your back, and one day they betrayed you. Now you got problems. Maybe it's in your marriage. You guys are married together, but you haven't had sex in over a year. You're roommates, and now you got problems, right? We all have problems that we have to navigate through in life. And in this situation, let me just say, my message is when I preach these sermons, so many times I feel like Jacob wrestling with God. And it's like I live in my sermon during the week. And it's not by choice. It's like God just puts me in that place. And this week I discovered that the budget for the building is going to be higher, that we're looking at building on Washington Street and all this stuff. And I had one of those nights where you sleep for 2 hours and you wake up for 1 hour and then you sleep for 1 hour and you're up for 2 hours. Anybody ever have those kinds of nights? I had those kind of nights and like God just spoke to me and said, Reuben, it's going to be all right. I'm going to share a word with you that the Lord shared with me. But I want you to hear this. Your problems are not too big for your God. Whatever you're going through in life, learn this now while you are young. Some of you are young. I'm so glad you're coming to church. Learn this now while you are young. Learn to cry out to God. David discovered it. He said, in my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. And what does it say, church? Let's read it like you actually mean it. He saved me from all my trouble. Isn't that good? Now, the key word here in this verse David uses is desperation. Are you desperate? Desperate for God. You know when you become desperate? When you lose your job and you're thinking, I'll just find another job in a month. And a month goes by and you don't have another job. You know what I'm talking about? And it goes 6 months, and you're thinking, I didn't expect to be without a job this long. Desperation. You know when you become desperate? When you're in your marriage, and you go through a divorce, and you're left by yourself, all of a sudden you're wondering, gosh, I need God big time. Has ever been through there before? Anybody ever been desperate? I think the challenge with us is it takes a while for us to become desperate. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's stubbornness. Maybe we have the solution that we could handle it on our own. Some of you are pretty self-sufficient. So when you go through a hard time, what do? I'm gonna double down. I'm gonna get a second job. I'm gonna get a third job. I'm gonna get a fourth job. I'm gonna do it myself. I'm gonna just work harder. And God's looking at you and saying, when are you gonna cry out to me? When are you gonna humble yourself? The disciples are facing a problem. Let's look at their problem. They have 15,000 people that are hungry. It's late. There's no restaurant or King Supers around them, and the disciples are past hangry. It's like you're past being hungry, and you're no longer hungry. You know that stage? Like, I was hungry an hour ago, but now I'm kind of getting used to having an empty stomach. And you get angry for a little bit, but then now you're just like walking around and you're just like, in a daze or something, and you're just kind of walking around. And there's this remote situation, and let's look at the first problem they're facing. Scripture says it was late in the afternoon. Late in the afternoon. God is so good. Late in the afternoon, the disciples realize, hey, we have 15,000 people. The sun is going down. Jesus, do you recognize what's happening here? We have a problem. We have a problem. One Bible scholar said it like this: the longer Jesus continued to speak, the more tense the disciples became. Imagine if I kept on preaching all the way till 2:30 or 3 o'clock this afternoon. All you Bronco fans, you'd be looking at your phones and, amen, amen, yeah. Jesus is long-winded. I want you to hear this. God is not bound to time. We are. We know when the sun comes up and when the sun goes down. We have a watch. We use Google Calendar. We know what's happening during the week or during the month or whatever it is. And much of it is dependent on these times, and that's how we kind of navigate through life. You have a God who's not bound in time. Think about it. There was this guy who was really sick, and his sisters said, "Jesus, come on over here. My brother's not doing well. I think he might die. Hurry up, Jesus, hurry up, Jesus." Jesus just took his time getting over there, and by the time he got there, he was already dead for 4 days. What was his name? Lazarus. And you know what they told Jesus? "You're too late." And you know what Jesus told them? "I'm the resurrection and the life, baby. You don't know who's standing in front of me. You don't know who's standing in front of me." Another time, so many times, Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years. 25 years. King David was anointed to be king, but he waited 15 years to be in that position. And let me show you the word that the Lord gave me in the middle of the night. Mark chapter 5, there's a famous story about this woman who had this bleeding issue, and she's had it for many, many years. She heard Jesus was coming through town, so she said, "Hey, if I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his robe, I'll be healed." So that's what happens in Mark chapter 5. But what you don't know is Jesus was actually on his way to perform a miracle. He was on his way to see this man's daughter. And it was while he was on his way, he was kind of interrupted by this woman who had great faith and this woman who touched the hem of his robe. And the guy who's with him is like, "Come on, Jesus, let's get on. My daughter is not doing well. Hurry up." Verse 35. While he was still speaking to her, that's the woman who touched his robe, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus. That's the guy who was he was going to help out, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." You know what they're saying? "He's too late." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, let's read this out loud. "Don't be afraid." There's the word God gave me in the middle of the night. At 3 a.m, lying down in my bed. I looked at it, and the Lord just gave I was looking at my phone. It's so strong, I want to give it to you because I think someone might need to hear this. Hear this. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. Anybody need that word? Don't be afraid. And I think that's a part of it. When we feel pressured and we have a problem that's bigger than us, there's a little bit of fear. Like, that's a really big giant. This is a really big problem. I don't know what to do with this, and I'm not strong enough, and I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to get... Don't be afraid. Just have faith. Have you ever felt like God's running late? You ever felt like it's too late? It's too late for restoration. It's too late for reconciliation. It's too late for things to be made right. The relationship has gone so bad, there's no way it could ever be good again. It's too late for him to change. It's too late for her to change. It's too late for me to find a ministry. It's too late for me to get a career. Have you ever felt like it's just too late? You have a God who's not bound by time. Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." I want you to look at the other side of that verse. You have the ability to say, "I'm not going to let my heart be troubled." Why would God tell you? Why would Jesus tell you a commandment that you don't have the ability to do? Jesus is saying, "Don't you let your heart be troubled. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to stress out about that. You don't have to get full of anxiety. You don't let your heart be troubled. Don't do it." I like what he said in John chapter 14, verse 27. He said, "I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart." Anybody need peace of mind and heart? "And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give." The peace that Jesus gives is a different kind of peace that you could find in this world. You hear that? It's a different kind of peace. You will not find it over the counter. You will not find it at a bar. You will not find it meditating at the beach. It's a different kind of peace. Here it is again. So don't be troubled or afraid. We're baptizing 12 people this weekend. I'm so excited. Jesus is changing lives in this place. Hallelujah. I'm going to read a few testimonies here. Here's this one girl. I baptized this girl last night. She said, I've been going to church my entire life, but up until a few years ago, I never felt like I actually had a relationship with God. For 5 years, I battled with extreme anxiety that stopped me from living my life. From this experience came a dependence on God I wouldn't have had without it. Wow. I still battle with fear, but God has helped me overcome the mental state that stopped me from doing the things that I love. Getting baptized has been something I've wanted to do for years, but I was too scared to actually go through with it. My baptism is not only a declaration of my love for the Lord, but also a triumph over the fear that has held me back. Glory to God. Isn't that a good word? Here's our problem. We think God is bound to time just like we are bound to time. That's our problem. We put our doubts and our limitations on God. And we say, well, I can't do this, so God can't do this. There's not enough time. Jesus, send everybody home. It's late. The sun is going down. There's 15,000 people here, Jesus. Don't you understand the problem? Why are you still preaching? Here's the other problem in this story. Verse 35 says, late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. Have you ever been to a remote place? It's that place where it's dry. Oh, sweet thing. It's that place where it's dry. It's that place where there's nothing to lean on. It's that place where you feel alone. It's that place where you're thirsty. It's that place where you're by yourself. It's that place where you are alone with your thoughts. You know what I'm talking about? It's that place where you're afraid. And many times God allows us to go to remote places. Sometimes we're in remote places because it's our fault. We made a decision and now we're in this problem. You know what I'm talking about? I chose this relationship and now this is what I got. I chose this job. Now I wanted it, but now I'm in this situation. I made this decision that night. Now I have a new problem that I didn't have. If I didn't make that decision, I wouldn't be in. And sometimes, aren't you glad you have a God? Even when you make those bad decisions, God will go with you in those consequences to minister to you and to love on you and to encourage you and to woo you back. You have a God who will go with you even when you mess up. Thank you, Lord. Remote places can be a scary place, but God does great things in remote places. In this situation, there's no restaurant, it's hot, there's 15,000 people, the sun is going down. Jesus, we got a problem. Troy said this, my struggles with alcohol started at a very young age. It left a deep and wide path of destruction and despair during my time of darkness and insanity. I truly believe that Satan had his stronghold on me. And instead of seeking help from God, I turned my back towards him. About 7 months ago, I was praying every day for God to end my life. Hello. By his grace, he didn't answer those prayers, thank you, Lord, which I'm extremely grateful. After God allowed me to hit my rock bottom, I surrendered to him and I begged for his help. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, I love that he mentions the whole Trinity here, pulled me from the darkness and have guided me and helped me protect my sobriety at all cost. Glory to God. Isn't that me? It's that remote place. What happens when the thing that you were leaning on is no longer there? What happens when the person that you were leaning on is no longer there? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you are leaning on a person, or you're leaning on a thing, or you're leaning on a job. What happens when that job that gives you identity and purpose is all of a sudden gone? Who are you? What happens when that person that you lean on is all of a sudden gone? Who are you without them? Who are you? What happens when your whole life is revolved around your kids and their schedule and taking care of them, and one day they leave the house? Who are you? Sometimes God puts us in situations where, where's that friend that you think is a ride or die friend? And then one day they betray you and you're like, whoa, I don't know who to call anymore. I don't know who to hang out with anymore. What do you do when that thing that you were leaning on is no longer there? No longer there. The Israelites faced this. God led them to the wilderness. After he delivered them out of Egypt, he led them to the wilderness, and there was a purpose behind there. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'm going to start at verse 2 here. Verse 2 says, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and what, church? And God led them to a remote place. Why? To humble them and to test them, to prove your character, and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Sometimes God leads you to remote places to find out what's really inside of you. You think you have strong faith? Is it still strong when you have an empty refrigerator? Is it still strong when there's a sudden death in the family? Is it still strong when you lose a relationship? Is it still strong when you lose that job? Is it still strong when you have that health situation? And when you go to remote places and the unexpected happens, it's a way of God looking at you and saying, are you still going to hold on to your faith? Am I still your God? Are you still going to cry out to me? Are you still going to walk by faith? Or are you going to isolate yourself from everybody? And it's just going to be you and your cell phone in your bedroom. Is that what's going to happen? Are you just going to scroll and swipe away? Or are you going to turn to God? Are you going to keep going strong? Are you going to keep walking by faith? Verse 3 says this. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry. Glory to God. Sometimes God just lets you go hungry a little bit. God's like, I know it's dry. And I'm going to let it stay dry for a little bit. I'm waiting for you to humble yourself. And then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors, he did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So you got to understand this. Here's the position God wants you to be. God wants you to humble yourself and cry out to him. I'm going to tell you a secret. Sometimes it takes a while for us to get here because we have this thing called pride. And I'm talking to you, Christian, as well. Stubbornness, pride, all that stuff. For some reason, we feel like us having control of our life is the best place for our hands to be. But you have a God who's way bigger than you. And God wants you to humble yourself and cry out to him and say, God, I need you. I need you, God. I didn't expect to hurt this bad. I didn't expect to go through this pain, and I need you. God's waiting for you. And sometimes he takes you to remote places because he's trying to get your attention. And you know what God was teaching the Israelites? You survive by the word of God. You need the word of God to live. And you need the word of God to live as well. This is the best post you could read. This is the best post you can read. You need to spend time in the Word of God. If you're not sure where to start, start in the Gospel of Matthew and just take your time and read a little bit in the morning and see what God does. You need the Word of God to live. Spiritually speaking, you need the Word of God. Sometimes God will let things run out so you can turn to him. Sometimes God just lets things run out because you are worshiping him, you are worshiping her, you are worshiping it, and God says, no, 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 I need your worship, and he'll let things run out sometimes. A guy named Chris said this, I'm deeply grateful to have finally found a church community, a search I had undertaken for a considerable time. What felt like a coincidental encounter, noticing brothers outside the church while running an errand. He was coming in, running an errand. You can let your imagination go there. And he saw our greeters out here in the front. And they said, hey, what's up? You want to come to church? Well, he was running an errand. He said, quickly revealed itself as divine leading. Their welcoming demeanor, oh, God bless you, guest relations people, you're awesome. Their welcoming demeanor and introduction to your congregation resonated deeply with my long-held desire for fellowship and a place to hear God's word. I firmly believe the Holy Spirit guided me there. Isn't that beautiful? Look how good God is. Whatever it was at home, it ran out. And then he thought, well, I better go ahead and get some more. At that exact time, God providentially orchestrated a meeting there with our bouncers and him, saying, hey, you want to know the living water? Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where they can find some bread. That's all it is. You want to know something bigger? You want to know something better? You want something that'll give you a high for forever? You want to know Jesus? He'll never let you down. The peace he gives is unlike any other peace. You need the word of God to survive. Paul the Apostle talks about problems. He said this in 2 Corinthians. For our present troubles are what, church? Are small. I know it doesn't feel like small. I know it feels big. But we're humans and we have a human perspective. Paul says our present troubles are small and what and won't last very long. And I know when we go through something, it feels like it's just not going to end. It's like I've been dealing with this for weeks or months, maybe even years. But in that whole time, I want you to hear this. God is not wasting time. God is working on your heart. God is working on your character. God wants you to humble yourself in the midst of that remote place. There's no time that wastes in the eyes of God. He's working. He's working. And you're the project. Not the problem. You're the project. God's working on your heart. He wants you to learn to cry out to him. He wants you to learn to depend on him. He wants you to learn how to have faith in him. And Paul says our present troubles are small and they won't last very long. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. You know what that means? God will use that problem for his glory. I know it's hard, but God will use that problem for his glory. He will do that. He will do that. Romans chapter 5, Paul says it like this. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Now that's really, might be a little bit hard, right? Let's just be honest. I lost my job. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. I don't know. You know what I mean? Maybe it's a good thing. It is a good thing. For we know that they help us develop, what? Did you see that? Problems and trials help us develop, what, church? What's endurance? You know what endurance is? I ain't gonna quit. I'm gonna keep moving forward. Sometimes it's just keep moving forward, isn't it? Sometimes it's just, I'm going to get out of the bed. I'm not going to stay in the bed. I'm not going to let my problem keep me in bed. I'm not going to let my problem keep me in the house. I'm going to keep moving forward. You know what that's called? That's called walking by faith. And you learn, endurance is, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to go longer. I'm going to go farther. I'm going to keep walking with God. I don't care about that problem. That problem is not going to define my obedience to God. That problem is not going to define my faith in God. I'm in it. I swallowed the pill. I'm in it. And scripture says, when that happens, your problems, they build up your endurance. And check it out. The very next verse says, and endurance develops strength of character. That means your faith is stronger. Now, you might have some scars, but it's part of the story now. There may have been times when you felt like God needed to move quicker or whatever it is. There's things that happen. There's some hurt and pain in your life. But when you learn to keep moving and you learn endurance, you have a new faith inside, a new strength inside. And you're like, I'm trusting my God. And my character has been changed because I have my faith in the character of God. I am trusting God is going to work all things out. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to take things in my own hands. I'm going to trust that God is a good God. He's a loving God. He's a faithful God. He's a merciful God. And he will use everything for his glory. So this problem is not going to define my faith. My faith is in my God. My faith's in my God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I want to talk to some real people. Everybody who has it all together, you can just leave right now. I want to talk to people who don't have it all together. People who know what problems feel like. You know what I'm saying? Endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Develops this hope in Jesus Christ. Hope is so powerful. When you don't have hope, you want to give up. When you think things will never get better, you become discouraged. You can throw in the towel and say, forget it. It's like I'm battling Mike Tyson. I can't do it. Forget it. I'm just going to throw in the towel. But when you have faith in God, you have faith in who he is. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes life is hard. Verse 5, Romans chapter 5 says this, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Hear this. God loves you so much that he offers you his Holy Spirit so that you don't have to face your problem alone. Glory to God. And sometimes God just says, I need you to keep moving. Trust me. See, I've gotten to the point with my faith in God that I don't need to know how God is going to work it out. I don't need to know that. I just want to put my faith in God. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I don't know how God's going to solve this, but I know my God is a loving God, and he's watching me, and he sees me, and he's taking care of me, so I'm choosing not to worry about it. God wants you to get to the point where your relationship with God is so close and you know his heart and his love for you and you're motivated to obey him and humble yourself because of his love for you. And you trust him with everything. You recognize he's a merciful father, a comforting God. You look at the disciples. The disciples have an idea. Verse 36, you know what they tell Jesus? Send the crowds away. That's their idea. Isn't it cool that Jesus didn't send the crowds away? You never would have this story. Never would have had this miracle. It wouldn't have been on the front page of all four Gospels. And they say, send the crowds away. They're thinking how to solve this problem. When we're facing problems, what we do is we tend to rely on our own understanding, our own logic, and our own perspective. Hear this. The way God solves our problems is almost always different from the way we think he should solve our problems. You think this is the way God's going to resolve this. He's going to give me a job. He's going to give me a woman. He's going to give me a guy. He's going to fix him. He's going to fix her. He's going to give me more money. You think that's... No. What I've discovered is when you humble yourself before God and you cry out to him, God works in a way that's so beautiful and it's always redemptive. And other people experience the love of God, not just you. Other people experience it. It's just room for God to flex. That's all it is. You say, God, I surrender myself to you and I'm going to give you my problem, and you humble yourself. I love that Jesus says in verse 37, he says, but Jesus said to them, and what are those three words? You feed them. I feel like this is such a gangster move by Jesus. I mean, it's just such a gutsy move. Jesus turns to these, he's telling them, 15,000 people, and they're complaining. Hey, it's getting late. We're remote. There's no resources out here. Send everyone home, Jesus. You don't understand how things work down here. And Jesus tells them, you feed them. How do you think they felt about that? And you know, scripture says in the Gospel of John that he was talking to Philip. It says this, therefore, Jesus lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? This he was saying to test them, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. 200 denarii. What's 200 denarii? It's 8 months of wages. So you know what Philip does? Philip does exactly what we do. He says, money will solve the problem. The reason why we're in this situation is money will solve this problem. We think like that. We have a tendency to look at what we lack instead of looking to who is with us. And Philip says, Jesus, I don't know if you understand how things work down here, but this requires 8 months. We need more money, Jesus. We need more money. And it's not going to, we cannot fix this. And Jesus is looking, I think he's just staring them down. And he's waiting for them to figure it out. Anybody ever have money issues? You have money issues? Your rent is due. Your mortgage is due. You bought that really cool car off the lot. It looked really good. And then 6 months later, you're like, what in the world did I get myself into? You know what I'm saying? Anybody ever have money? You don't have money issues. I've had money issues. Everyone's had money issues. And you think, I don't have enough. And you're working that calculator. And you're trying to do some creative financing. And you're thinking, well, maybe I missed a zero somewhere. I'm going to check it again. And you start doing that. Psalm 34, verse 17. It's a word for us. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. It's a good word, guys. I love the word all in this whole thing. But the Lord hears his people. That's you. That's me. The Lord hears his people when they cry to God, when they call to God. Now, here's what happens many times when we run into problems. Many of us, our first thing we do, maybe we don't even share it with anyone. We keep it to ourselves because we convince ourselves that we're really strong, we're really self-sufficient, we're really, you know, we can control things, and we kind of go there first. But eventually, you might go to someone and you might reach out to them. Stay with me, guys, stay with me. And here's the problem with taking your problems to people. When you take your problems to people, you need to understand they will hear you many times. They will answer the call. They'll respond the text. But check it out. They have their own problems. And eventually what happens is as their problems increase, they'll eventually tell you, I'm sorry, I just can't. They don't respond to your text. They don't want to hang out with you. They don't respond to your calls because they're just tapped out. They're tapped out. They've got their own problems, and they just don't have the shoulders to carry your problem with them. Don't fault them for that. Here's the person you can cry out to that always will take your problems, God Almighty. He will always hear you. He will always take your problems. He wants you to cry out to him because he wants you to know his love and his grace, and he wants you to know there's nobody stronger than your God. He will always hear your problems. Day and night. You can call to him at 2 o'clock in the morning. I can't tell you how many times I'm on my knees right by my bed and I'm just crying out to God. I'm saying, God, I just need you. And God is so good and so merciful. Thank you, Jesus. He is so good. He hears me all the time. Glory to God. I thought about this miracle. Thought about this miracle a little bit. And I thought, here they are. They've got this problem. They're in this remote place. They're hungry. They got no money. There's no restaurants, no resources. They got 15,000 people. I mean, it's like a pretty big situation, and the disciples are concerned about it. And then I thought, well, why did Jesus say, you feed them? And then why did Jesus tell Philip, hey, what do you think we should do? What was that about? And then what I decided to do was look at the miracles before feeding of the 5,000. You know what the miracles were? Healing throughout Galilee, cleansing a leper, healing the centurion's servant, healing Peter's mother-in-law, calming the storm, casting demons into a bunch of pigs, healing the paralyzed man that was lowered through a roof, raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, healing the woman with the issue of blood, healing two blind men, casting out a mute demon, healing the man with a withered hand, healing the blind and mute and demon-possessed man, casting out legion, and healing the man at the pool of Bethesda. Why didn't they turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know you got a lot under your hood. You've done a lot of things. What are you going to do now? Why did they do that? Why were they even worried? How many of you have grown up in the church? Raise your hand. How many of you have experienced an answered prayer? Raise your hand. So here's the next question. Why do you worry about anything? Why do you worry about anything? Why do you worry about anything? Don't you forget how God met you in your bedroom. Don't you forget how God met you in your car. Don't you forget how God answered your prayer. Don't you forget how God showed you his presence. Don't you forget how God called you and he's waiting for you to be obedient. Don't forget how God forgave you. Don't you forget how God has been faithful in your life. Don't you forget that. You're breathing right now because of the grace of God. You are breathing right now because of the grace of God. Life is a gift from God. Don't you know how fragile life is? Haven't you figured that out? Haven't you figured it out? You're not that smart. Turn to the person next to you. Just tell them you're not that smart. Can you do that? I feel like starting an argument on the way from church going home. I heard what you said. You meant it. I know. You're not that smart either. Sorry with me. I'm not that smart. I'm a living testimony that God can use anybody he wants. That's me. Lord Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I got to read this to you. It says, we're pressed on every side by what? You been there before? Hey, just because you're living comfortably, don't forget who's your God. You'd be surprised how quick circumstances can change. I love this next part. But we are not crushed. Thank God for his mercy. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. You know what Paul is saying? You may not understand why this is happening to you. You may not understand why you're going through this. You may not understand why this is, you may not get it, but don't be discouraged. Don't be driven to despair because your God is with you and your God will see you through this. Keep moving forward. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Turn to the person next to you. Just tell them, keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. I'm not going to stop. I'm keep moving. I'm in it. I'm ride or die with Jesus, guys. Keep moving. I'm going to keep walking by faith. I'm going to keep trusting God. Keep moving. Keep moving. I don't understand why all this is happening, but you know what? I am curious. I want to see how God's going to work it out. I'm going to see how God's going to use this accident. I'm going to see how God's going to use this surprise, this unexpected thing, because my God is so good, and life is so short. Life is so precious. Then he says, we're hunted down, but never abandoned. Thank you, Lord. Never abandoned by God. Oh, I know what it feels like for a father to walk out of my life at the age of 7. Anybody know abandonment? But your God will never leave you. Jesus will never forsake you. He is a faithful God. I know what it feels. I know the hurt. I know the tears. I know what the abuse looks like. I know what it looks like to be raised without a father. But you have a God who's your heavenly Father, and he loves you, and he's a good God, and he'll show you what real love looks like. He'll never abandon you. He'll never walk out. You'll never hear the door close behind him. Glory to God. You will never hear the door close behind him. Oh, anybody ever experienced? Am I the only one here who's messed up? All of us need the grace of God. We get knocked down. I love this. but we are not destroyed. You know what this verse also says? Getting knocked down is a part of life. Right? Getting knocked down is a part of life. Been there millions of times. Getting knocked down. Don't get you discouraged when you fall down and you trip. Don't get discouraged down here. Your God's going to see you through this. He's going to help you up. Scripture says he holds onto the hand of the righteous and he won't let you go. That's what Psalm chapter 37 says. He holds onto your hand and he will not let you go. You're going to learn about the grace of God down there. There's going to be some good things that happen when you fall down. But you know what will happen? Your faithful God has your hand. He's not going to let you go. He loves you. He cares about you. He sees you. He has a purpose for you. And this problem that you see is just going to be part of your story. Romans chapter 8 says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? That's good to know, because sometimes we might think, oh, if God loves me, then why? Right? God's got a bigger plan. Oh, he's so good. Verse 36 says, as the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. This is how they felt. We're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Oh. What would your life look like if you trusted God about everything? What would your life look like if you knew God was going to carry you through it? What would your life look like if you absolutely held on to your faith? What would your life look like? I want to give you an opportunity, guys. This is a time in the service. Some of you, maybe you feel like you've been drifting away from God, drifting away. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The best decision you'll ever make in your whole life is inviting Jesus into your heart. It's the best decision you'll make in your entire life. It starts with Jesus. It starts with Jesus. So I want to ask you to do a bold thing. This is a life-changing moment for some of you. If you are ready to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you stand up really quickly and stay standing? I want to say a prayer for you. Anybody in the house? We got someone in the back. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And we got some Bronco fans over here standing up. Anybody else? I haven't gotten over the day I got saved. Check, stay standing up, guys. Last night, we had a 79-year-old woman stand up to receive Jesus. 79-year-old woman. And I asked her in the hall. I said, hey, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? And she said, this is the first time I meant it. That's what she said. We had another young woman stand up. She was like, she was right here, close to where you're at, Kevin. She stood up, started sobbing, and I went down there and I hugged her in the middle of the service, and she was crying on my shoulder in the middle of the service. Jesus is changing lives in this church, and you're next, baby. One more time. Is there anybody that's ready to give their life over to Jesus? Stand up really quickly. Last time. All right. Oh, we got it. You know, the thing, when you guys stand up, you're putting your faith in Jesus. You don't need to know everything. All you need to know is Jesus. Jesus knows your future. That's what you're doing. You're saying, Jesus, I'm going to choose you to be my Lord and Savior. And you take my life. Lead me and guide me. It's the best decision. It's like you're moving out of the the seat of that steering wheel and you're moving on over. You're going to jump in the back seat eventually. But Jesus is like right there and he's like, I got you now. You don't have to worry anymore. He'll take care of you and he knows the desires of your heart. Stay standing. I'm going to say a prayer for a little bit. So just chill out just for a second. God bless you. Oh, look at this sweet saint right here standing up. Isn't it beautiful? Praise the Lord. Look at her. Oh, beautiful. All right, here's the next ask. Anybody got a problem? You might think, I don't got problems. I got uptown problems. Anybody got problems? Anybody need the Holy Spirit to fill them? Anybody ready to cry out to God? Stand up really quickly and let's pray. Oh God, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for moving in hearts. And for those of you who are ready to receive Jesus, say this prayer. Say, Jesus, I turn to you this morning. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. I give you my life today. Today I become a Christian. Put your Holy Spirit inside of me. Teach me how to walk with you. I humble myself today. Thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness over my sins and my life. Thank you, Jesus. I give you my life for forever today. Others of you, maybe you need to say this. God, today I humble myself. I ask you to put your Holy Spirit inside of me. Take over my life. Help me not to worry. Help me to trust you. Help me not to have a troubled heart. I give you my problem. Deliver me. And if you don't deliver me today or tomorrow, I just want you to know, God, I'm going to hold on to my faith. I'm going to endure. Help me to endure. Build up my character and the hope of salvation. I want to be stronger. Help me to keep moving forward. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.